to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Living Villa Capelli, guys. Stephen here. Paul will be joining us shortly. This is a first part in a two-part series on why we believe the coastline of Puglia is the best in the world. And since Puglia has so much coastline, we went a little long. So we decided to break into two different podcasts to make it a little bit easier to digest and listen to. So without further ado, here is the first part in our series on the coastline of Puglia.
Hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good evening. Buonasera.
Welcome to Living Villa Capelli.
It is evening here in beautiful Puglia. Huge storm yesterday, by the way.
Big storm.
Lots of damage.
And lots of rain and water backing up into our
house.
Typical old villa.
Uprooted olive trees in nearby Ruvo.
But luckily our trees are okay, right?
Yes, and so are our olives.
Yes.
So, what are we talking about, Stephen?
We're going to be taking you guys on a tour of the Puglia coastline, why we think it's one of the best in the world. So
it is pretty cool.
It is good. So we kind of covered some of these things here and there, but we'll catch on. We're going to go from the top, I think, all the way down. So we'll start, and I'm just going to throw stuff out, and then Paul and I can discuss. We'll start up on the Gargano.
The first ad agency I ever worked at was called Ali and Gargano.
Was he Italian?
Emil Gargano, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Huh. Was that mean he's from that area, though?
He said he was from, I think, Abruzzese or something, so, but I don't know.
Interesting. So we'll start with, I have all my little map out, so I can not miss anything. Vieste and Peschici. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Ah, yes, I said it right. Yes. We talked about this a little bit in the podcast with Angela and John. I don't remember what number that was, but if you guys want to go back and listen to that, that's all about the Gargano. So we'll just cover this a little bit. I personally thought we didn't really see Vieste.
We drove around it.
Yeah, it was, but the whole area, I will say, the entire peninsula is just gorgeous.
It's not really a peninsula. It's a spur on the heel of the boot.
Well, technically, peninsula is anything that's surrounded on three sides by water, I believe. So technically, it's a peninsula, I think, isn't it? That, isn't it the
yeah, it's more like a wart.
Oh, great. A spur is better. It's the spur of the boot.
Yes. Sticks out into the Adriatic Sea.
Yes.
It has a long history, just like the rest of Italy. Vieste looked like, at least, you know, we drove just on the outskirts of it, looked like kind of a, you know, decent-sized city, very resort-ish.
Yes.
Not as bad as some of the places up north, like Rimini and those places, but it is right on the water. The sea up there is beautiful, lots of little islands dotting the sea.
It almost makes me think of, like, a local resort area, like more Italians would go there than foreigners.
Well, it's local if you live near it.
You know what I mean? More like Italians would go there than foreigners. But I don't know for sure. I don't know the answer to that.
No, a lot of people go there.
Yeah. And Peschici.
Peschici.
We did stop at.
Yes.
It was charming.
Yeah.
It wasn't
blow away.
It wasn't blow away, no.
But it was charming. It was you know, a nice little town. Very sort of typical Pugliese town. Just that it's on the water again, you know. But you know, big, huge, sheer cliffs going down to the sea.
That part was beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, just another old town, but pretty. And the ride to any of these towns is pretty spectacular.
No, yeah. Oh, the whole drive. The drive is just worth it, even if you don't stop in the town.
It's all switchbacks, climbing up hills and down hills, all switchback roads. You gotta, you know, you drive like 50 feet. You gotta switch back the other way. 50 feet, switch back the other way. And if you get stuck behind a tractor, you're screwed.
And Paul and Angela were fighting over who could take the better picture of the exact same spot. But then we drove down. I wouldn't conclude Monte Sant'Angelo is kind of a coastal. No.
I mean, you can see the seafront gets so high up.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
But Monte Sant'Angelo, let's just repeat it, is pretty amazing, spectacular.
Yes. Don't miss
and
that.
And an amazing history. It's the, I guess, the second, no, it's one of the two most important religious sites dedicated to the Archangel Michael. In the world, Monte Sant'Angelo is one on the Gargano, and the other famous one is Mont Saint-Michel on the coast of Normandy in France, if you don't know where Normandy is. The big difference being that, I mean, they're both spectacular places. Mont Saint-Michel might even be a little more spectacular because of the way the tides come in and, you know, people drown if they don't get out of there fast enough. The big difference being that Monte Sant'Angelo on the Gargano, supposedly the Archangel Michael appeared there three times. How's that?
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, for an angel.
That's actually...
Just call me angel
it is kind
of the morning.
No, it's kind of interesting. Be,
it is.
That, well, I've never heard of anything more than once, actually.
Yeah, and and every crusader... that went to fight, you know, in the Holy Land, had to, it was required to stop at Monte Sant'Angelo on your way to the Crusades to get a benediction in that church and from Saint Michael.
Because he was the warrior, actually. I wonder if that's had to do with it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, traveling on, zipping on down to Margherita di Savoia. Again, mm-hmm. We covered a little bit of this with Angela and John. Beautiful to drive. The actual town is nothing, I'll be honest.
Well, we didn't see Margherita di Savoia, really, did we?
Yeah, we drove through it, didn't we?
No, I don't know.
That technically wasn't it?
No, I think we drove through Zapponeta and some of the other towns.
Oh, then we cut to the highway before we got to it, or no?
No, it was just we're on the coastal road, which are salt flats.
Yeah.
The oldest salt flats in all of Europe, you know, sea salt. I don't know if it's the largest. It might also be the largest. But what's really cool about it, though, as you're driving along the coast there, you know, on one side you'll have sand dunes and then the sea, and on the other side you have all these sort of, you know, lake kind of things, salt water, where the salt is being produced.
Yeah,
and filled with pink flamingos, which is pretty awesome.
They're cute.
I thought pink flamingos were only in Florida.
And this is where Villa Capelli salt. Sea salt comes from?
Yes, that's where we get our sea salt. And pretty soon, actually, we're going to be introducing a new sea salt.
Yes, don't tell. No, don't do it yet.
I'm not going to tell what it is. I'm just going to tease them.
Tease them. Okay.
But it's pretty cool. It's a really cool idea.
Yes. But right now, we have three varieties for you guys. Regular sea salt, a lemon sea salt.
Infused.
Yes, lemon infused. And a herb de Puglia infused. We call it Italian herb sea salt. That one kind of has all the dried herbs, all your regular ones, oregano, sage, rosemary, all kind of infused into the salt. So, you know, you got it one punch, use it on your roast, your vegetables.
And we call it Herbe di Puglia because we stole the idea from Herbe de Provence because we have over 100 lavender plants in our garden.
Yes.
And so we add lavender to our herb mix and called it Herbe di Puglia. Why should Provence have all the fun?
Exactly. And then basically we took that and then mixed and kind of infused the salt with it so that now you get all in one seasoning sort of deal. Those are all really great. So I highly recommend it. And those guys, honestly, those are extremely reasonable. I'll put that out there compared to a lot of other sea salts. We've tried to be very reasonable with that. It's because, you know... that's the way we are.
It's salt. It's the salt of the earth.
Exactly.
It's one of the basic necessities of life.
Yes. All right. Skipping on down, I don't know, is there anything to talk about with Barletta that we
Well,
know
yeah,
of?
But no, Barletta is a really beautiful town. There's a couple of things about it. I mean, I don't know it that well. I mostly go there to pick up people at the train station. So if you're ever coming down to Villa Capelli or the Bari area, a lot of times you're better off getting off in Barletta instead of going all the way into Bari, because picking you up is a pain in the neck because you have to drive into the big city of Bari. Now, Bari's like 400,000 people. Barletta's probably 60, 70, 75,000 people.
Yeah, it's also just traffic. You're going against traffic.
But Barletta, like a lot of these towns, has a really spectacular castle. It's an ancient Roman town, which means it was probably a city before that. It is right on the water. And there's a great story. There's a huge statue, a bronze statue, outside the castle of Barletta of the giant of Barletta. And the story of the giant's pretty cool, actually. I'm going to tell you about it if you want to hear it. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I'll hear it.
Barletta is not far from Cannae. If any of you remember, Cannae is the site of the largest battle in ancient history. It's where Hannibal defeated the Romans, right here in Puglia, like 30 miles from us. So Cannae is inland, and I guess as Hannibal was trying to get out of town, as they say, they marched towards Barletta. When they got to Barletta, the city walls, the castle walls, the city walls were shut solid because the people inside were scared out of their pants because Hannibal was coming with all his troops and his elephants. So Hannibal and his troops get to the city walls and they see this giant of a man. I don't know how tall he was, but supposedly he was a giant, sitting outside the city gates, which are shut tight, and he's crying. He's crying and crying and crying. So a couple of the emissaries, Hannibal's emissaries, go up to him and say, who are you? And he gives his name. What are you doing out here? Why are you crying? So I'm crying because they won't let me back into the city. Why won't they let you back in the city? Because I'm too small. I'm too short. So they figured that everybody in the city was more gigantic than him, so they turned around and went to the next town. Kind of a cool story.
And how big is this actual statue?
The statue is looks like it's at least 20 feet tall.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
Easily.
Wow.
Solid
okay.
Bronze. He's dressed like a sort of a Roman centurion.
So this is actually,
it's really cool.
That's interesting.
It's beautiful.
And that's actually not that far for a, legend.
What do you mean not that far?
No, I mean like that ancient in history.
Well, it's 300 and something BC.
Yeah. But I'm saying as far as...
Yeah, it's only 2,500 years ago.
Yeah, it's basically...
I mean, it's not like Zeus.
Exactly. I mean, David and Goliath, I guess, in some form. Now, wait, before I... Because I don't remember. Where did we do the food show that was the old town? Was that Barletta or Bisceglie?
Bisceglie.
Okay, so we'll get to that one. Okay. So that's Barletta.
Uh-huh.
Nice. So we're moving...
It's definitely worth checking out.
Yes, cute. I mean, I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories. Next one is Trani. Mm-hmm. Not Tranny, but Trani.
T-R-A-N-I.
I remember the first time coming driving down here, actually, with Clark and Greg. We were in the back of the car. we all kept seeing signs for Trani. We were all finally, I think Clark was like, really? Really?
Well, the funniest thing is that...
There's a town called Tranny.
The funniest thing is weddings are very big here in Puglia, as many of you probably heard on one of our podcasts recently. The funniest thing about Tranny is that they have a lot of signs up for their wedding services, wedding stores, where you can buy wedding gowns, and it was all Tranny wedding, Tranny wedding, Tranny wedding. So it was like they was having Tranny weddings.
That's funny. Do they even know the term? They had no idea.
No, they probably don't.
Yeah. And actually, it's a very offensive term, so we're just making fun of it, guys, but we apologize for that. So,
right.
Okay.
Oh,
yes.
That's Stephen started that. Stephen, write yes, all your nasty letters to Stephen, not Paul.
Sorry. Yes, okay.
So Trani is really, really beautiful. It is right on the coast. It has a beautiful harbor that reminds me of Saint-Tropez. It really just feels like the south of France. No. Lots of palm trees, big, beautiful harbor with lots of big, beautiful boats.
They're one of the places that did it right around here.
Yes.
They got the tourism thing right. And so you will walk through and you'll see the English, Australians, Germans. You'll see actual tourists, but it's not overly touristy.
No. It's not like overrun by tourists. No. But you will see like fair-skinned people who were burning up in the summer sun.
Exactly.
With lots of hats on.
And there's lots of, what do you call it? What do they call it? They don't call it tourist specials, like a tourist menu for
lunch.
Yeah,
tourist menu, yeah. Whatever that means.
Yeah, so they'll give you like for 20 euro, they'll give you a pasta, an entree, and a coffee.
Yeah, it's actually quite reasonable.
Yeah, it's not
but,
bad.
So they have all these beautiful boats. One of the boats they have there, which we're dying to go on.
Oh, I want to go so bad. Somebody come and rent this damn boat.
It's a little fishing trawler, like really crappy looking. It's like all rusted out, it seems like. But it's a real fishing trawler. You know, a small one, maybe 25 feet long. And what they do is you pay to go on the boat. They take you out into the open sea, and they're fishing the whole way the whole way out to the open sea. Then on the way back, they put hibachis over the side of the boat as they're motoring back, sailing back, and they cook up the fish that they just caught while sailing out. So you get to eat all this incredibly fresh fish. They open up the bar. They have a bar on the boat. But here's the best part of all. They turn on the karaoke machine. So on the way back, you're eating fresh fish, getting drunk, and singing karaoke in the middle of Trinity Harbor.
Hey, maybe we work this into the culinary tour next year.
Yes, we have to.
Yes, we do another. We do a culinary tour. We're about to start, next week.
Yeah.
We have a group coming, so anybody wants to join that, just let us know.
And there's actually one going on right now, but it wasn't one that we organized.
No.
It's a Canadian group that's here with this really great chef from Nova Scotia.
Oh, my gosh. We want to interview him because I really want to get his risotto recipe on tape.
Yeah, he just made risotto the other night. It was like killer.
So good. I don't eat grain, but I ate so much of that risotto.
Yes, with fresh nasturtium flowers from our garden on top.
Unbelievable.
Michael Howell is his name.
Yes.
Look him up. He's in Nova Scotia. He also is the director of a new film fest that's doing really, really well. I think it's the largest food film fest in the world called Devour.
Yes.
I'll
put some links to that in the show notes. Okay.
So then Trani also has one of the most spectacular cathedrals in our humble estimation, probably in the world. It sits right on the sea. It is magnificent, mostly because inside it is just so stark.
It's really cool.
It's like there are no big paintings, no bleeding Jesuses, or
And it's not, and it's a huge freaking cathedral, guys.
Yeah,
I mean, this is 3 stories tall.
Yes, yeah, it's from the 1100s or the year 1000, dedicated to Saint Nicholas.
It sits right on the water.
Yep.
I mean, it's right there. And it's a huge freaking cathedral. And you walk in, and what's kind of cool, because most people who've been touring Italy, you've been seeing these ostentatious, over-the-top, beautiful cathedrals. But when you walk into this one, you're like, okay, where are the paintings?
It feels Protestant. It feels like Episcopalian, not even Episcopalian.
I love it. And actually, the old original.
Well, there are two churches under the cathedral. Well, one is the crypt, and the one underneath that is from around the year 600 AD.
And those are actually almost as beautiful as the one above it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but in the middle one, the crypt, are the bones of Saint Nicholas, Santa Claus, the actual Saint Nicholas. Mm-hmm. His bones are in there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought, he's there and in Bari?
No, I think Bari is just pieces of him and his treasure.
What do you mean by pieces of him?
I don't know. The bones.
But you said bones. So piece. What other pieces are there?
I don't know.
That's what I mean.
Because Saint Nicholas was brought back to Bari from Turkey. I don't know what year it was, but and the Turks are still kind of upset about it. They want him back.
Yeah. So Trani, to sum it up, beautiful.
No, not summing it up yet. There are two other really cool things about Trani.
Okay.
One is that it has one of the oldest Jewish ghettos in all of Italy.
Yes.
Which is really, really pretty, all these back streets. It also has a magnificent church that was a synagogue, but then became a church of the Knights Templar.
And they would get their blessing before going off, no?
Because they would probably come down from Monte Sant'Angelo after getting their blessing from St. Michael, and then they would board ships in Trani to go to the Holy Land.
Because there's actually a little alleyway next to the church that used to be board the, you and your horse could board the
ships.
Well, it's like a little, what do you call that, boat that takes you onto the ship.
Oh, okay.
The little, not ferry, but
a little dinghy.
Dinghy. Took you on. Because there was actually, one tour guy showed us where they could, because you're on horseback, they could touch a certain part of the wall. That was where they touched to get the blessing, whatever it was. Yeah.
Everybody needs a good blessing now and then. Exactly. The other cool thing about Trani is, and you know, you can check this out. I'm 99.9% sure that Trani is the site of it's the city where international maritime law was written.
Yes,
I mean maritime law for the entire world was written in Trani.
I just heard somebody else say that recently in a guest, so they must have read it in a guidebook or something. Yeah. I heard that.
So Trani is not to be missed. It's really, really beautiful.
Yes. And it's we always recommend. And I will say it's beautiful in the day. It's also extremely beautiful at night if you ever want to go there for dinner. I actually think it's very magical at night where the harbor's all lit up. It's beautiful for dinner, the meal.
Thursday evenings and Friday evenings when all the fishing boats come in and they just pour all their catch onto these tables along the port, and you can just buy fresh fish right there.
Yes, it's great.
Speaking of fresh fish, we're moving on to what town?
We're moving on to Bisceglie.
Bisceglie. Bisceglie used to be the site of the biggest asylum in Puglia.
Oh, yeah.
They've since closed it down like they have most asylums. But Bisceglie is also obviously on the sea. It has a great open-air fish market that we go to as often as we possibly can.
Yes.
And the old town of Bisceglie is also quite magnificent. The port isn't nearly as great as Trani, but the city itself is pretty cool.
I will say, we should describe, just because you were giving an overview, but the fish market, guys, here is literally an open-air fish market. And it's almost everything you would think of, I don't know, it's like a stereotypical Italian fish market. I mean, you go through and the guys are like, come taste my fish. It's great.
Right. It's only five bucks.
Oh, get the octopus. I just caught it this morning. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, everything's caught this morning. I mean, everything caught that morning. Right. So, but there really are, not the word, heckling's not the word, what they're calling.
They're fishmongers.
Yeah, they're fishmongers. They're trying to sell their goods, and they're all doing it at their separate tables, which are right next to each other, and they all have this is the best octopus, and the next table, no, this is the best one. And
it's a smaller version of what the Fulton Street Fish Market used
to be. Probably, yeah.
And outdoors as opposed to indoors.
Yeah.
But it's the fish is really spectacular.
No.
It's inexpensive.
And the fish here is, you can't beat the fish here.
Well, you can't beat your meat here either. The fish here is actually
this is why I had to rate this explicit.
I didn't say anything nasty. The fish here is much tastier than other parts of Italy, mostly because we have a sort of shoals along the shore. You know, it's all rocky with lots of algae. And that gives the fish much more flavor. And the Adriatic is much more closed in than the Mediterranean, so it remains saltier. So the stuff that comes out of the Adriatic is just much more flavorful.
And I will say, a very good example of this, for me at least, and I didn't actually taste this, but when your cousins came here from Livorno, they made, what's it called?
Cacciuco.
It's what do you call it?
A fish stew, like a bouillabaisse.
Tomato,
spicy tomato, and they for 9 people to make a fish stew, they spent €350 just on the fish, and it took all day to cook. Every day to cook one fish at a time. You know, like every type of fish gets its own cooking method. Then you mix it all together, and it is the most incredible thing you will ever eat in your life.
And but they also took all morning just finding the right bread
bread. No, this isn't really country bread. No, it has to be a little different than this. We want country bread like we have in Tuscany. It's like, well, then go back to Tuscany, for Christ's sake.
But they even admitted, because then I actually had it. They went to a restaurant when we went to visit them in Livorno, and they had the restaurant make this dish, because it's a very traditional Livorno dish or Tuscan dish.
No, Livorno. Just Livorno.
And quite honestly, I didn't like it. I had a really, really, really hard time getting.
But you're not a big fish eater.
I'm not a big fish eater. But even then, it wasn't. I mean, I can get.
It wasn't what we played it up to be.
No, they made it out to be this, and I just couldn't. And they actually admitted, it's just not as good as what it is in Puglia. The fish.
That's
just
right.
The fish made the dish.
And Livornesi, people from Livorno are very, very, very proud of their fish up there, because Livorno is also on the coast, on the Mediterranean side, on the Tyrrhenian Sea. And they're very proud of their fish, but they were blown away by what they could buy here.
So that concludes the first podcast exploring the coastline of Puglia. You know, if you want to see the show notes, head on over to livingvillacapelli.com/20, and that'll have all the links and pictures for this episode. That's livingvillacapelli.com/20. And that'll also have all the links right to those sea salts we were talking about in this episode. And I want to talk a little bit more about those and expound on those a little bit, just because I didn't know some of this stuff when I first started learning about Italian cooking, and I thought maybe you guys might be interested as well. And one of the facts I thought was interesting is that many chefs actually believe sea salt tastes better. Don't know why, but it is a pretty well known. People really do believe that. And it also retains traces amount of various minerals like iodine, zinc, potassium, calcium, magnesium, and iron. So sea salt's really always good to have on hand, even just as a finishing salt. So that's why we carry it, and we hope you guys will enjoy them. And while you're at livingvillacapelli.com, be sure to never miss another episode and subscribe to us on iTunes. There's a little button on the right hand of the website that'll help you out do that. Just click that button and you'll be taken right to that to do that. And while you're on the website, be sure to sign up for our newsletter if you haven't already. It's called 3 Point Thursday. And this is where every Thursday we'll share 3 quick points to help you out. Everything from cooking tips and travel advice, all that kind of stuff. You know, 3 quick points to show you that life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. Grazie and arrivederci.